Welcome to the show.
Blog Talk Radio.
I'm reading a brief paragraph. Tonight's topic, we're going to be covering a lot of headline news. Two major states now dropped the mask requirement in public places. China elected to have the Beijing Winter Games in a place that produces no snow. All their snow was fakely manufactured. And the IOC is being criticized for even approving it. And Minneapolis had another murder of a young black man, Amir Locke. And I'm going to tell you the reasoning behind that during Black History Month. Authorities have released the no-knock search warrants for the raid that led to the death of a 22-year-old, killing earlier this month in Minnesota. His name was Amir Locke. The document shows St. Paul police argued the controversial method was the safest way to execute their search for both officers and suspects. A no-knock warrant enables officers to execute the warrant more safely by allowing officers to make entry into the apartment without alerting the suspects. They did this because his cousin, who's, I think his name is something, M. Speed, I don't know how to pronounce his first name, he had killed a St. Paul man earlier that week, age 53, and apparently he lived with his 22-year-old cousin or nephew. The search warrant applications that were approved by Hennepin County was approved by the same Judge Peter Cahill who presided over the Derek Chauvin trial concerning George Floyd. A 10-page application for a no-knock warrant for the apartment Locke was sleeping in said officers believed that was the safest option due to their investigation that supported a no-knock entry. They reviewed the suspect's criminal histories and reported relative crimes they were allegedly involved with and saw social media videos where the suspects were posting videos and pictures while holding a firearm. So they kind of cooked their own goose. It was approved. But now Mayor Fry in Minneapolis, who wanted to abolish the no-knock warrants in November of 2020, and he made a recommendation, it's coming back to haunt the city because no one listened to the mayor at the time. With that, I'm going to pull in all the hosts, Wade, Albert, and Don, one by one in the order in which they called. Hi, Don. How's your night going?
Hi, Dane. Hi, Wade. Albert.
And Albert.
Night's going okay. Many meetings today. I've had three meetings, and this will be my fourth call, at least. We've been busy trying to make sure that we here in the West Coast remain vigilant for any conniving thing that might happen this year.
Yeah, and I am bringing up a hot topic for Black History Month. With that, I'll say good evening to Albert. Hi, Albert.
Hey,
thank
what's
you for
up?
Calling in tonight.
Oh, yeah,
thank
definitely.
Thank you for calling in.
Oh, yeah, I would definitely like to get into this topic as soon as possible. I don't want to shortcome away in there, but, yeah, I mean, whenever you're done introducing people, I'd like to sure talk about
sure, and then I wanted to mention there's five people on the line now, counting me, Wade, Albert, Don, and John. The other thing I wanted to mention that a no-knock warrant killed 94 people last year, including 18 police officers. So it's dangerous for both parties to engage in that type of behavior. I'm not saying it's a behavior, it's a procedure. Hi, Wade. How's your night going?
Hey. Doing all right.
That's great. I know you teach, and I know you're tired, and the show might only be an hour tonight unless we get a goofy guest caller. But feel free to hang up whenever you want to. Okay?
Okay, thanks.
Okay, now we have John on the line, our most controversial host. And I've already done an introduction, John, on the no-knock warrant that's being reviewed by the Minneapolis City Administration. The Mayor Fry had already requested that be done 16 months ago, but now it's killed another young Black person in Minneapolis, so it's becoming an issue. By the way, I haven't renounced anything except for Chinese snow. They should have had the 2022 Winter Olympics in Minnesota, so they didn't have to make fake snow. And maybe they shouldn't have had the Los Angeles Super Bowl down there because it's going to be 84 Sunday in L.A. So, now it looks like I'm subject to slick, snide comments in the background. Don, why don't you go first with it? Well, I'll let Albert go first, and then Don, you can comment on no-knock orders, and then whoever else wants to follow.
Fine.
Go ahead, Albert, with what you wanted to talk about. I guess Albert is on mute or he left the area. So, Don, why don't you open the show up with an introduction on your opinion of no-knock warrants. Are they effective and should they be abolished?
I've been working on legislation here in Nevada for, well, the last session that ended last June, and no-knock warrants was one of the things that we got passed here in Nevada, one of the few criminal justice items that we got passed, thanks to the Attorney General A. Ron Ford. So, and so we were able to get no-knock in less extreme circumstances for a person of with a deadly intent. So we were able to stop no-knock warrants being with the NAACP and a couple of other agencies that helped the Attorney General. But
now, if somebody's on the run for murder and they haven't been located, what's your opinion in that situation?
Well, that is the same situation as any other situation. As long as they don't have a hostage, they should be surveilled until they remove themselves from the premises, because part of those that figure that you were talking about statistic is that the death rate in people, innocent people in behind the wall in different apartments or whatever the case may be outside, those things occur at astonishing high percentages. So, and they're not discussed. So a no-knock warrant is dangerous for not only the person, the suspect, and the police, but also the bystanders. You know, the no-knock with Amir Rice,
it was Dante Wright was killed at a traffic stop. Amir Locke
was killed
in his bed. But he had a weapon by his bed. Now, how many people on the average sleep with weapons? Because that was another topic that came up.
A lot of people do. All right? A lot of people sleep with a weapon either under their pillow or right by their side. And so that's not necessarily uncommon. The thing is that he was not the prime suspect. He was not even mentioned in
His cousin's name is something like, it's not Melvin, he has like Miri Steep or something like that. He was the prime suspect.
Yeah, well, he wasn't there, and Locke was the one who got shot. Without notice, he was pretty much still sleeping. He had just gotten wakened because they had a key to the house. They just
They snuck in with a key.
They didn't sneak.
And when they saw the weapon, they shot.
Right. They walked in. They didn't sneak anywhere. And so, this is another example of malfeasance on the part of...
It's kind of like sneaking in, though. He didn't expect them.
Oh, my God.
Well, okay. Well, I'm going to let John, Wade, or Albert go. If they're coherent. Well, you know what, Don?
What?
It is like sneaking in because it's unexpected.
Right, but you don't sneak in when you have a key. That's not sneaking in. That's almost ventures on breaking and entering if they don't have that search warrant.
You're entering the premises without announcing themselves in advance. No, they didn't find the suspect.
His parents are going to get paid. That's the bottom line.
Well, he's a dead man, and that's a tragic incident for Minneapolis to occur once again.
Another one, yeah, exactly.
All right, let's go to Albert, and we have a guest caller from St. Louis. It might be, I think I know who it might be, but... Why don't, Albert, weren't you going to say something quick before I brought in the guest? It might be Raj, I think his name is. Okay, I think Albert's on some kind of standby, so I'm bringing in the guest. One moment, please. Hi, this is Jane, who's calling from the 314.
Oh, this is Mr. Bianchi. How are you doing?
That's who it was. I knew who it was. I didn't say your name right. We have a lot of recurring callers. How is your evening going?
Well, everything's going pretty good other than the normal things. Not normal, but the things that's going on in politics with the destruction of liberty and so on and so on. But we have it.
We have a co-host on the air who would agree with you.
I heard someone mention Dante Wright.
Well, Don messed the name up of Amir Locke. I live 2 hours north of Minneapolis. I was born here. And I remember when you called the show a few years ago, you're from a conceal and carry state, and you said you had a gun at the Trump rally. But we were talking about no-knock warrants that possibly could be outlawed by the city of Minneapolis, just because it's local and I'm from here. But we also had another broad range of topics planned that we haven't tackled yet. But feel free to express your opinion on any topic.
Well, if the city of Minneapolis wants to do that, that's up to them. It shouldn't be no one should try to make it a nationwide event. That's up to Minneapolis. And I heard somebody mention Dante Wright. You know, there's a perfect example that an individual, Mr. Wright, not showing any accountability whatsoever. And the old cliche that cause and effect, the condition that he was in, the car he was driving, why did he put himself in that position? And then when he had an opportunity for things to work right, I guess he got to thinking, well, my mama's going to get a car towed, this, that, and the other. Then he wants to attempt to try to run. And that there was really foolish. So
because he didn't weigh the circumstances. But I feel like the female officer, Kim Potter, made a bad instant judgment call.
Oh, yeah, she did. I don't think she was trying to do it. What can we say? Was Mr. Wright trying to get in trouble when he took his mama's car, whose license plate was expired? His driver's license was expired. I think there was some warrants issued there.
There was one warrant for him for domestic abuse.
Well, yes. So all those things come into play. And that goes back to, and you know, I think too that when you have an individual who resists a lawful attempt to detain them for investigation and it leads into another, then there should be more crime charges. There should be more charges imposed upon them. Because
I do think Minneapolis has been under the microscope because Philando Castile was killed by Geronimo Yanez, and then the Derek Chauvin killing of George Floyd, then Dante Wright, and now we have a new one with Amir Locke. So no matter what happens in Minneapolis, any type of confrontation is going to be reexamined over and over.
Well, you know, with Castile, Minneapolis law say if you carry a concealed carry weapon, you do not have to tell the officers. And when you do, you elevate the situation. And I think that people who do engage in that liberty, they should know the laws that apply to engaging in that liberty, especially when you come in contact with a police officer.
Well,
in Missouri,
maybe he was overly honest because he was nervous at the time.
Well,
you know, like
a person that's carrying a concealed shouldn't be nervous.
Well,
that's dangerous.
I don't want to put it in this vein because I'm not black, but if he's pulled over by an officer and he wanted to be upfront and mention he had a weapon, maybe he did so because he knows the way police are in this country. So he was trying to be one step ahead of everything.
Well, I walked up to the police officer. He was admiring my house, and I told him, oh, by the way, I'm carrying a weapon. And he said, I wish everybody like you did. I don't know what he meant by like me, but I let him know, no occurrences.
Well, I think it depends on demographics, because I've been to St. Louis, and there's a lot more African Americans there than there Now, Minneapolis has a ton of Africans and African Americans, but the officer in that situation was Latino, so I'm not sure why he reacted the way he did to Philando Castile, but he shouldn't have shot at him with a baby and a girlfriend in the car for a routine
Well, that could be either way. I've seen instances where suspects have shot at the police with a baby and girlfriend in the car. So who knows when?
That's
now,
One thing I like about when you call in is that you weigh every aspect. Now, I'm going to have one of my co-hosts pitch in because I don't want to watch the show.
Yeah, I do it based on experience, too, and what I've observed. Now, this case you're talking about now with Amir, I don't know much about that case. I usually like for them to let them have an opportunity to work their way out.
His relative killed a 53-year-old, and they were looking for his relative.
Yeah, well, it sounds like an incident that just got completely misscrewed, I guess. Sorry that the man lost his life.
Well, I thought it was strange that he's only 22. He was sleeping with a gun. I don't know. That's not something I do. Now, I have relatives who live in Minneapolis, North Minneapolis, where it's pretty rough. So maybe a lot of people do sleep with guns. John, Wade, Don, or Albert, would you like to pitch in?
Sure. Well, I mean, yeah, I'm all for definitely for gun rights. I would never sleep with a gun because I could just, you know, my mind's so unclear when I wake up. There's just so many things that could go wrong. I guess for some people it could work, but it's pretty risky. For me, I think if I slept with a gun, there'd be more of a risk of me waking up incoherent and doing something without thinking about it would be more of a risk than the other way of having someone breaking in and I'm not prepared.
Yes, and by the way, you guys, that's a good answer, Wade. Locke's cousin, Mekhi Speed, lived in the same Minneapolis apartment building and has now been arrested for 2 counts of murder.
Mm.
So I'm not sure why they went in Amir's apartment and if they had originally lived together.
Oh, I didn't want to interrupt. I just was waiting for a time.
So there's already been 2 protests in Minneapolis on February 5th, and Princess Evan, which was the deceased Otis Elder, who was killed at age 38, they originally said he was 53. She said he was targeted, and his death had been swept under the rug. People were paying more attention to Locke's killing than the guy who was the original victim. John, you're being quiet tonight. Are you muting yourself because of click?
Oh, I'm just letting the team talk it out.
Well, John, right. Since you used to ride a bike through the neighborhood and got stopped by cops periodically, what's your impression of a no-knock order?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Oh. Do you mind if I weigh in? I was just trying to get some other people to pitch in. Oh, do you mind if I weigh in?
No, go ahead.
The interesting fact of the no-knock warrant, because, like, yeah, the no-knock warrant, so they, you know, they don't have to knock, but that's open to discretion because sometimes they actually do knock. Because it's you know, it gives them the permission not to knock, but sometimes they do knock, but not all the time. Now that open discretion gives them the opportunity to choose who they're going to knock and who they're not going to knock. And now back in the days of not even slavery, it was after slavery, and even, you know, there was black people were still being oppressed at that time. And the no-knock warrant, you know, they use it to just go into black people's houses without knocking on the door. You know what I mean? And this is the time, you know, of all, you know what I mean, like back in the days of like the, you know, the 40s and the, you know, the 30s and the 50s and whatever, you know what I mean? You know, even when Martin Luther King was out there, you know, speaking, that, you know, this was these times that, you know, and it still, even in today, it still kind of resembled that kind of right now, except that it's, you know, it's kind of a little bit different now, you know, because now there's actually black people in the police force. But so the no-knock warrant, you know, back in the days, you know, they like, it was a black guy, they didn't even knock, they just bust right in and pull him out butt naked or whatever, you know, just like, you know what I mean, there's like, you know what I mean, and, you know, now that's not to say that, you know, now it's perfect and there's a bunch of good cops. Of course, there is some, you know, like they like to say it, right, bad apples, right, you know, in a system that allows bad apples, in the system that perpetuates and continues to allow
well,
that stuff
this
to happen.
Well, in case, Albert, they got assigned written permission by the district attorney's officer, the issuing judge. So they didn't just randomly go in there. Now, I just found out by reading further that the actual person who murdered two people that the cousin took the fall for, he was only 17. The murderer was only 17. His 22-year-old cousin took the fall for him.
Beyond the trailer. Well, on Beyond the Trailer, if I remember correctly, for Beyond the Trailer, when the cops, the warrant they got was just for some drugs or whatever. They was somehow like delivered to her in the mail. They couldn't even prove that on the mail. Even the people at the post office didn't want to, you know, clarify anything like that. So they didn't even their warrant. Now they got permission for the warrant, but that's because usually the judges they're quickly fast to sign off on the warrant, you know, with little to no probable reasons, and you know, in most cases.
Well, it's probably because they couldn't find the 17-year-old. But
a warrant is nothing. A warrant is just like walking in, like, hey, judge, sign this off for me. And it takes a quick second, like, oh, I know you. You're cool. Yeah, I'm signing it. Boom, you know? And they're gone, you know? It's like,
this guy presided over the Derek Chauvin trial, so he wasn't just some ordinary folk in the county building. And also, right now, there's a moratorium on any no-knock warrants in Minneapolis. So there's a freeze on it.
Yeah, but anyways, they never even found anything in Beyond the Sheriff's place. They didn't find any of the drugs or anything like that. And
they weren't looking for drugs. They were looking for the 17-year-old cousin who murdered two people. But because they saw the gun by a mere lock, they shot him. They didn't question him or try to wake him up. They killed him.
Okay, well, I must have the wrong person then, but okay.
Yeah, I think you do.
Anybody
else
want
to weigh in, or should we go back to Pianke?
Lucky he's not on
one
note for
warrant. Right?
Yes,
can you say your name just one more time? Pianke.
Yeah, you
say
it right.
But when the cop gets the wrong person, well.
Yeah,
okay, you guys
there,
should
he...
know Pianke. He's called the show 5 times in the last 2 years. He kind of leans towards conservative in some ways. Don,
well, you know,
wake up and put your ice cream away.
Mostly moderate.
No, I was thinking about going to get it.
Well, you guys, I need more participation, okay?
Right. Well, okay. Aren't we participating a little bit? Except for Don.
Yes. Albert
well,
did.
Well, here's the thing. Well, on participation, what I was talking about, back on what I was talking about, on the no-knock warrant, how back in the days they didn't knock for black people, and for white people they did knock, you know what I mean? And that no-knock warrant was just open for discretion for the police to use on their own discretion, you know, to choose who they want to knock and who they don't want to knock on, you know what I mean? And they had their own probable reasons.
that has two sides, though. Home invaders don't knock neither, do they?
Huh. Well, I mean, they can. Here's the thing: for the no-knock warrant, that doesn't. If you read that closely, that doesn't mean they, like, you know what I mean. If they wanted to knock, they could still knock. Like even if they had a no-knock warrant, they could still knock. You know, if they like the guy, right? If they like the guy, you know what I mean, or you know, they have their own probable cause. Like, oh, you know, he's a black guy or Mexican.
You know,
he's got to be really dangerous. We got to really, you know, we can't knock the door because he's going to come out shooting.
What everybody needs to do then is get to their state legislature and tell them they don't want no-knock warrants like I did. And this is something that everyone can participate in if it is, in fact, a problem. Some people think that no-knocks are appropriate. But in most cases, the no-knocks, they end up okay. They get the perpetrator. But in some cases, it doesn't work for anybody. And 95.
Well, let me ask you guys a question.
19 is ridiculous.
Yeah, let me ask you guys a question. If you was engaged in that type of activity, where you know that either the police is after you, or some rivaling factions are after you, would you go hang out around other people, where you would be exposing them to the possibility of getting injured because somebody else is pursuing you? Doesn't that call for accountability also?
If I was accused of murder or something like that, I wouldn't be anywhere in the United States if I could help it. I would have been on a ship to who knows where, Panama, Puerto Rico, Philippines, some other place that starts with a P, I'd be there. I would not be in the United States if I was. And 2 counts of murder? I'd be gone.
No, well, if I was able to prove myself innocent, you know, I would turn myself in. But if I can't prove myself innocent, you know, in America, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, you're guilty unless proven innocent. Now, I know it's the other way around. It's, you know, that's the law. That's the thing. It's kind of, if you look at it for poor people and for rich people, it's kind of different because, you know, if you can't afford the bond, you're going to stay in there. If it runs for a long time, you're going to stay in there for longer. You know, look at the Rikers prison. You know, a lot of people, they went in the Rikers prison. They stayed there for a really long time. The people stayed there for years and years until their court date.
But that's what I'm talking about. You got to look at the mentality of the people that's involved. Like the one gentleman said, he would get out of the country. Well, if I was drawing that type of attention, especially dangerous attention that could be harmful to my loved ones, relatives, or friends, I would not be around them. I would have at least that type of dignity and fortitude to not want to harm somebody else with what I'm involved with myself. But these people don't think that way. They don't give a damn in many cases. And we see it in cases like this.
Well, here's the thing. See, in America has the largest military funding of the whole entire world. Even the next seven biggest countries, and America still has a bigger military budget. Now, because America's military budget has been big and for so long, over decades, there've been a lot of hand-me-downs been brought down to the police force having a lot of military gear. Now, the thing is, when they hand-me-down these things, if the police force does not use it, they have to return this military equipment with them back. They have to use it. They can't just, you know, hold on to it and not use it. So they, you know, they're incentivized to use this gear that they brought so that they have, you know, certain equipment to bash in, break in doors, stuff like that, or, you know what I mean? Or these, you know, these SUVs that look like tanks, they got to use them. And so the no-knock one helped them a lot to be bashing into the door instead of just knocking on the door and just waiting for the person to open the door to just bash right in. You know what I mean? They'll be able to use all this equipment and be able to keep the surplus equipment that they were given by using it.
Maybe they Maybe they went in janitor outfits, and that's why Amir Locke didn't recognize them.
Another thing, one of the reasons why you got no-knock warrants, if they were going there looking for drugs, well, the perpetrators could flush those drugs down the toilet. Then there's no way to prove where they came from.
Yeah, this was a murder suspect, and Locke was not the suspect. So this was where they did not intend to announce themselves. They just went ahead and woke them and shot.
Well,
so
here's
not,
the thing.
That's an execution.
Well, you're talking about
John, do they just shoot whenever they see a gun?
They have to announce gun, or they have to, you know, ask the person, is it loaded, if they're not moving or anything like that. But, you know, or if it's not in their possession. But this was right beside him, so they didn't know what to think. But apparently they had to announce themselves before they shot, and I don't know if they did or not.
Let me explain flushing down the toilet drug thing, because, if you had to knock on the door, that doesn't mean just because they knock on the door, they're just going to sit there for hours and let him do whatever he wants, you know? They'll be knocking on the door, and if they have reason to believe that he's flushing the drugs on the toilet or something like that, after knocking on the door, they can bash into the window and throw some flashbangs and still come in either way. You know, so the no-knock warrant and knock warrant, they're still coming in either way, whether you like them or not. I mean, the police are going to do what they got to do. Just because, you know, you do this doesn't mean you're forcing the cops to do that. You know what I mean? Like, if you have a hostage, doesn't mean they're just going to walk away and they're just going to let you get away. You know, they're gonna be there and they're going to take you to jail, you know? Like, you know, dead or alive, you know, one way or the other.
You guys have to cut away for like 30 seconds. Keep talking.
Multiply that, what Albert just said, by multiples for being black. That gives that most of the authorities the ability to pretty much cover themselves. But I have, the thing that I always say is that I wish that the police would be replaced by community police. My mom was the first black policewoman in the state of Wisconsin, and she was a community policewoman. So she got to know her community on her beat. That saved a lot of stress and her daily beat was a lot easier than if she had to, you know, carry and utilize her guns all the time. So that's what community policing is doing. That's what I've been with the 21st Century Community Policing Task Force, Obama's program, since it was implemented and even before that, because I was a prodigy. I'm a product of community policing, policewoman, mother. So, you know, these things can be done differently go back to the old way. But this militarization, what Albert was talking about, having the waste of the military and being able to use all of that, you know, we saw what happened in Los Angeles and other places where it almost is out of control. So we've got to make sure that we do stay on the right track in terms of keeping an eye on law enforcement, even though there are some training, some cities that are doing a lot, and states doing a lot better with their training than their sensitivity training specifically with community.
Well, some of these departments need military equipment. Have you ever been woke on New Year's Eve in some areas of the city, listen to that gunfire? Some of them sound like explosions.
I used to live in Los Angeles. I lived in Los Angeles. And luckily, I go down to Vegas during some of the holidays, and they don't do that there. But Los Angeles is pretty bad, and some other cities, but it could be worse.
Yeah, some of those gunshots, those explosions, I call them, sound like they're RPGs. And people come out, neighbors come out to get in their car to go to work the next morning. They got gun holes, gunshots all through them. So it's bad in some of these places.
Some people die. The bullets go in the air and come right down on them.
Hit them in the head.
Quite a bit. But, you know, I'm not proposing by any means the gunshots, but that, you know, those they need to police officers with guns isn't going to help that too much. If you're at one place stopping a person with a gun, it takes time to file a report and write a ticket and maybe cuff them and bring them to jail. And that officer is off gunman's off the street while everybody else is still.
Albert, you're back on the air.
Oh, yeah, I heard that unmuted, yeah.
While everybody else is
still. My call dropped.
But, you know, for the most part, I think that we've talked about Amir Locke a little bit, and if we do have to have another subject, this is the time. If we want to change direction, I guess Jane is still off. She said 30 seconds. So do you guys want to still talk about?
Well, you know, I've been watching some documentaries. I just watched the new documentary. This is relatively new stuff, so it's not old stuff. I mean, it just came out just a few days ago. There's already 4 episodes. The 5th episode is coming out on February 14th, and it's actually free to watch on A&E. It's a documentary called Secrets of Playboy. And it talks about the girls that worked and lived with Hugh Hefner, and you know the girls that were taken advantage of, raped, kidnapped, and abused.
Right.
You know, a lot of stuff that happened, and no one ever heard of it until now. You know.
Yeah. No. They know about it in the city. That's why I don't look at movies. I've mentioned this many times. The reason I'm in Reno is because I had to get away from Hollywood. It is the most disgusting, vile, vicious.
Right.
And they're the ones doing all the preaching at us, because they're trying to say the rest of the country is like them. Like no.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you got a bunch of people like Hugh Hefner. You know, I mean, he seems like a really great guy and on front of the TV screen, like a really nice guy and TV and all. But behind the curtains, you know, I mean, and it talks about he had a whole crew to make him look good. He had the whole staff and everything to make sure that public relation that he came out as a good person. You know, he didn't want to, you know, people to view him bad, and he did a good job of it to make himself look good. But he was definitely not a nice guy from what I heard from, you know, secrets that are coming out. He was not a nice guy.
Well,
and he did some bad things.
He was actually sort of, if you look at his routine, he was kind of a loner a lot of the day. So, you know, his persona was...
He lived with a lot of Playboy bunny girls, but anyways, I mean, these are all rich people, and I'm just going to count, you know, because there's Bill Cosby was a really good friend with Hugh Hefner. He would hang out with Hugh Hefner, and there was a drug they did there a lot with Hugh Hefner. I don't remember what it was called. But Bill Cosby used it a lot to make the girls pass out.
Right.
You know what I mean? So there are a lot of rich guys that take advantage, a lot of rich, powerful guys that take advantage of all these, beautiful women, like R. Kelly, Jeffrey Epstein, he's now dead now, Harvey Weinstein. And many more other rich, powerful people that got caught. Now, imagine the ones that haven't got caught yet. They're still been doing it. Because, Jeffrey Epstein and R. Kelly, they've been doing it for over 30 years, and they finally got caught. You know what I mean? It took them 30 years to finally go to jail. for Jeffrey Epstein and R. Kelly.
I don't watch movies at all because I know people back then knew Bill Cosby would drug some of the girls, and you know this is no secret inside Hollywood. There's a whole lot of stuff inside Hollywood nobody, but people in Hollywood know. But I do because I got caught up in it. And when, the pedophilia is rampant. And that's
I just remember the drug. It's a Quaalude. It's a Quaalude. There was other terms for it, but I remember it was referred as the original term, I believe, it was a Quaalude. And if you took half of it, it'll bust you. If you took two Quaaludes, you'll pass out. You would just pass out. So I believe that one's the one definitely you, because Hugh Hefner had a lot of those saved up and, in his room. But Bill Cosby just, went straight off for the knockout with the Quaaludes.
Right. And so, that's been, things like that have been going on forever, but it's very, very prevalent when you go to a Hollywood parties, things like that. There are things that if you're not with it, you'll be revulsed. And that's why
And here's an interesting part, too, because there's a double standard for the Richard Parham Parade. Here's the double standard, because at the Playboy clubs, back in the days, a long time ago, when you were purchased a key membership for $25, and back in the days right now, in terms of inflation, they're probably like it value up to $100. So imagine so basically back in the days it was $25 right for the key. I'll get you membership, and you go to the Playboy Club parties, and you go to the restaurant, the Playboy restaurants, and you eat there, right? The girls were told not to talk to them, not to give up their phone, not to do anything with them, nothing. Just don't talk to them, right? But when it was a VIP, now VIPs were very rich and powerful people, famous people mostly, for those guys, they were told to go talk to them, go hang out with them, If they ask for your number, give it to them, go for it with them. Stay there, stay there for as long as he's there, until, until he leaves, just stay there for as long as he's there. Keep him company the whole entire time. They tell him, it was double standard, right? And that's, and so a lot of these beautiful women, they were taking advantage.
What's your point? Albert? I've been to the Playboy Club, and whatever they did there, they did there. You can pay for whatever you want. So it doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, you can still pay to get to talk to Bunny. But I've been to the Playboy Club. So, it's not that bad.
Oprah Winfrey used to send girls to Harvey Weinstein. She had to know what was going on.
Right. They do. They know what's going on, and they don't tell you, or it comes out in public or in legal situations, they still won't tell you. So
and then, too, here's the other thing. All the women that did get the position... All the women that did get the positions they were seeking for sleeping on the couch, should they not give up their position because it was wrong?
No, not at all. But the ones, Hefner, he demanded loyalty, strict loyalty. And so it was no different than Trump or any other person that had his faction. He demanded girls protect him at all costs.
And people, and here's another name you haven't heard of, Don Cornelius. Don Cornelius was a famous TV show guy. He was a black TV. He was a black guy, and he was in TV shows.
He was
Don Cornelius. Well, he went to the Playboy Club a lot, and he managed to rape two girls, And he never went to corporate, never got taken, you know, never got arrested or nothing. You know what I mean? The girls, all they did is pick up the girl. They picked up the girls at his house and then took him back, you know, to the Playboy Mansion, fixed them up and put them back to work. That, you know, Don Cornelius, they literally paid these girls not to tell the cops, not to do anything. And Don Cornelius got away with raping two girls. They worked at the Playboy Club.
Well, what about the man that formed Kwanzaa, Ron Karenga? He was a felon from out in California in Oakland with a gang called United Slaves U.S. And he would torture black women, tie them upside down, and strip them naked, put a water hose in their vagina, and do a water bore, and put lit cigarettes on their body. And now you got people all over celebrating something that he created, being that he has that demonic background. I wouldn't allow my kids to celebrate.
Indeed. Well, you know, if you have the money, if you got enough money, apparently you can pay enough money to make yourself look good on, you know, on television, on a newspaper, you know what I mean, where you want to make yourself look good. And, you know, people who don't do that much research and don't know much, they're just automatically assuming that, like, he seems like a good guy, you know what I mean? That's like the president. I mean, when you vote for a president, you don't know hardly much about him than what you see on television or you read on a newspaper, right? So you vote for a president and based on who you like, you know, it's basically...
James Brown. Look how he used to physically and sexually abuse Tammy Terrell. Her mother caught him in bed with her, and she was 16. David Ruffin used to beat her and hit her across the head with hammers and motorcycle helmets. And now these people are on the Walk of Fame, got golden records and all that stuff.
That's why I don't look at movies. I don't really patronize concerts anymore.
Yeah.
I'm not giving my money to a bunch of demonic people, just like you said.
Check this out. This stuff is even more extreme when you talk about R.
But
Kelly.
But Albert, you look at
the more extreme
Albert,
because check this out.
Albert,
the music records, they knew about R. Kelly.
Albert.
Like R. Kelly, check this out. There was a VHS cassette and they made a lot of copies of this VHS cassette of R. Kelly peeing on a minor and having sex with a minor. And none of the music producers or places that hired him to go play at the club or whatever the casino, like, They would still hire R. Kelly, you know, because he was a moneymaker. That's the only thing they cared. He was a moneymaker.
But you're giving them money to do it. You're patronizing them by looking at the movies, by buying the records or, streaming service. You're paying these people to be pedophiles. Why are you doing that, Albert?
I'm not doing that. I am not doing that. But
don't
I'm just
you look
saying...
at movies? You look at these movies, don't you?
Well,
you look at movies.
No, I don't fucking look at R. Kelly's movies or anything of R. Kelly. I don't go looking
look
for
at,
any stuff
no,
in particular.
No, I'm not talking about R. Kelly. I'm talking about movies. R. Kelly is we just discussed. He's only one of many. And those people that are in the movies, that's what they're mentioning. These people in the movies have been, they've been destroyed. They've been run over all their lives.
Well, let me put it this way. I mean, like,
every time you look
at
a movie,
when you go to
the
store and you buy a milk and you got the good milk and you got the really shitty milk that tastes really bad, that looks really bad, and you know what I mean? What are you going
to
do? You know, you know the guy who sells milk
rapes
a bunch of kids, but you don't have much. What other choice do you have? You know, you drink the milk. Now that doesn't mean you support them. That doesn't mean anything. You know what I mean?
You guys, we're only having a 75-minute show tonight, and Wade's about to sign off. So why don't we give him a chance to say a few things?
Go ahead, Wade.
Go for it, Wade.
Yeah, hey, oh, sure. Yeah, I'm getting tired. I don't handle them early mornings that well. But, yeah, I mean, I know Don brings up a good point, and I've been, I've always loved movies, but, yeah, some of the values and stuff coming out of Hollywood, sometimes it's so, you know, ignorance is bliss, I guess, when I start hearing about all the stuff that's going on with these actors and stuff, and just the corruption and the double standards and stuff just turns me off of wanting to see a lot of films. There's just a lot of, you know, they'll fire someone for some stupid reason and support someone else, and it's just such so much inconsistency. It's true.
Someone made a point about Roseanne lately that Whoopi Goldberg only got kicked off The View 2 weeks for her insensitive comments about anti-Semitism, but Roseanne got banned forever from the network for making an offhanded comment.
It's black privilege.
Yeah. Well, I don't think Whoopi fully thought it through. I think she was trying to minimize the situation.
Whoopi said was racist. She said that whites and Nazis are the same. That's racist.
I thought she said that the persecution by the Nazis was not a racist-based ideology of some sort.
She tried to clean it up. See, when person first, what they first say is what's in their hearts. Then they try to clean it up because their pocketbooks start burning.
Well, kind of like this show, like people should have the right to say things uncensored. But apparently,
yeah.
I just don't think she framed it well.
Yeah.
No, I didn't see the show. I actually didn't see the show. Did anybody see it?
Well, sometimes you don't see, like, sometimes when you're over excited or over upset, sometimes you say stuff you don't mean, too, you know?
Yeah.
When she gets over excited, she farts.
I also think it's getting pretty obvious that... a lot of these TV things have a pretty left-wing bias. Like, you know, Gina Carano was kicked off for just having some harmless kind of right-wing opinions. And
people were upset about Joe Rogan being canceled.
Here's another thing, because I watched the Secrets of Playboy, so a lot of the guys were kicked out of the club that like slapped the girl's butt, you know what I mean, or touched the girl. They weren't allowed to touch the girl, but for the VIPs, it was completely different. They were not, none of them were ever kicked out.
Well, it's like politicians, like they're caught all the time going to not wearing a mask, and the same people are like, everybody better wear a mask. And, you know, it's like, okay, I mean, you know, whatever your opinion is, whether masks are important or not, it's like, well, either they are or they aren't, right? So if you're the person preaching that they are, then you better also be the one wearing them, yeah, right? It's like, if you're going to force something on people and say, this is what you need to do, that should be you too. Yeah, so there's a lot of people in power, double standards, and...
there is
definitely
double standards. Look at the Congressional Black Caucus. They don't allow black conservatives. They don't allow white Congress people like Steve Cohen, who's a congressperson for Shelby County of Tennessee, which encompasses Memphis. His constituent is majority black. But the Congressional Black Caucus don't allow him to join because they have a standing rule. No whites allowed. That's your Congress.
Well, they're allowed to have their own group, in my opinion.
They don't allow blacks. If you're conservative, there's several blacks who they won't allow. Tim Scott, one. Another guy out in California, and another one, I can't think of their name.
Right.
Well, I interviewed for a job on Capitol Hill after college, and there was the Democratic Study Group. You couldn't work for them unless you were a Democrat, and that's just the way it was.
you got a group in Georgia that wants to build a statue of Clarence Thomas, where the black politicians are coming out and going against it, even though they're using private money. So blacks are racist just as much as anybody else.
Well, Clarence Thomas isn't the poster child of popularity or likability.
Well, regardless, at least they're going to apply the bias. It should be applied smoothly and evenly, shouldn't it? You want to take down Robert E. Lee's statue and so on and so on and so on, even though he's an American soldier that fought in many wars.
I have kind of mixed
feelings about that, because I think in certain parts of the South it's okay to keep the Confederate stuff up.
Yeah, I mean, and all this racism
stuff. Part of their culture. I don't think it's good what they were fighting for, but it's still, I don't think it should be illegal to leave it up.
The thing about the law, they legalize, they make stuff illegal and stuff legal, not based on the people that voted for their senators or mayors or presidents, because, like, if let's just say all the people vote for and they want this, that doesn't mean necessarily. Most laws are put in place by the big corporate America, the big corporate industries that pays big financial funds for these mayors and senators and presidents to run their election, so they can have enough money to, to pay their staff and do, how you say presidential funds or whatever, I forgot what they call it, but all these big funds, right? So when your big donor is coming from this big business owner funding your election, you're definitely going to make laws and regulations to benefit, your funder, and that's what they always do. And basically laws are made by the big corporate America. And that's why
laws can be made by citizens, unfair. Yeah, citizens can write the laws. I'm going to give you another example of double standards and say that blacks have privilege. January the 6th, you had an incident where a woman got killed. It wasn't Babbitt. It was another lady that was coming in on the side going into a tunnel. Okay, the crowd rushed. She fell down. A black man fell down with her, and she was laying there partially getting crushed. A black female police officer by the name, D.C. police officer by the name of Morris, came up to her and started hitting her across the head with a metal baton. Then she took what looked like a cane or a stick and started beating her across the head with it. Now, is that not the unusual force, excessive force? The lady was unconscious. They have many videos showing that she wasn't even moving. But the D.C. police said that she didn't do anything that was objectionable. Now, if that had been a white police officer beating a black person, oh, baby, it would be all over the news. That's the double standard female black privilege.
Well, yeah, that's because, back in the days, the black people were suppressed, right? They were, they were.
Yeah, but what does that have to do with 2022? I didn't live back in those days. I see what's going on to now. That woman that's laying on the ground by accident, getting beat the hell out of, killed, because she was murdered. That's what will happen. That's a white woman that got killed and beat by this black police officer, female named Officer Morris with the D.C. Police Department.
I wanted to retract a second, you guys, and then you guys can go back to what you're talking about. What Whoopi said is that the Holocaust was not about race, but if you define race, it doesn't necessarily have to mean a color like black, white, or Hispanic. It can mean someone who has a collective national origin with common language, common religious values and practices. And so maybe she was thinking along the lines that a lot of Jewish people look white, just like they may look. There's a lot of Jews spread out all over the earth. They could be Sephardic Jews, like the ones in Spain, or they could be German, and there were Polish Jews. So maybe what she was trying to say is that it was about an ideology. It wasn't about the color of their skin. But the Jewish heritage goes back to the Abrahamic faith, and I think she tried to make too mundane of a statement for something too complex.
Yeah, she should have kept her mouth shut.
Let me put it, I mean, it's not like, yeah, there is some race, but not everything's race necessarily. You know, so you can't base your facts on race every time something happens. You know what I mean?
I was listening to our George Floyd episode in May of last year, and this one guy from New York called in and said that all police are corrupt. It doesn't matter if they're being overpowerful over a white woman in Walmart or something else. But his basic premise was that all police are corrupt in the way they handle people, not just blacks. So what he was trying to say, it's not about race, it's about the domineering authority figures within the police department.
Yeah, the police industrial complex on how the, you know, rules and regulations benefit them and how they're able to do certain things and get away with it. And they don't hold accountability. And when you don't hold them accountable, you know, those who are already violent, you know, basically, no, they can be violent without getting punished, and they will be violent. And there's
well,
a reason why there's no citizens arrest.
Well, they do have body cams now in a lot of cities.
Yeah, but let me put it this way. There's a reason why there's hardly no citizens arrest, because if you were a citizen and you were trying to make an arrest and you beat this guy over and you maybe you shoot him in the leg or something, you handcuffed him, and, you know, and you did your own citizens arrest, you will not be treated. You will not be given the same benefit as a cop was. So if you were to do the same thing as a cop did, you know, and say, "Oh, I arrested this guy and I beat him over with a baton because he was fighting back," you know what I mean? You would be arrested too. You would be arrested too, and you would be sent to jail because you're not a cop. Because the cops are allowed to beat over people over the head and fucking almost kill people, shoot people, and get away with it, but citizens are not allowed to do that. So that's the reason why the citizens' arrest doesn't hardly ever happen. Because you don't have the same power as the cops.
They had a case here in Louisiana. They had a case in Louisiana.
So John and Don, are you going to say anything tonight? I know Don was.
Down to 21 minutes.
Way dropped the line. Pianke, do you have anything on your mind that we haven't covered already tonight?
Yeah, we
you know on the issue about police.
Quite a bit.
You had a case there in Louisiana where a black barber was involved in a high speed chase. I think he made a.
The barber was driving.
The barber was driving. Yes. And the highway patrol noticed whatever he was doing. And he was driving through parishes and neighborhoods over 100 miles an hour.
And
he
what
crashed.
Did they do about it?
He crashed, and the police got him. And now, of course, he died. I think he died from his injuries. I think
he died.
They're complaining. Yeah, he crashed. He traveled over 100 miles an hour going through residential neighborhoods. Now, if I had a came up and I lived in a neighborhood, I sure in the heck wouldn't offer him a bottle of water, because he was totally, totally irresponsible in putting innocent people's lives at danger. So they saying the highway patrol beat him to death. And everybody had body cameras. And then the governor comes on, bails
him. Right?
Yeah, the governor, Bill Edwards, makes a statement saying, well, if he had have been white, I don't think this would have happened to him. He's the Democratic governor in a red state, Louisiana.
Well, let me put it this way.
That's how things get distorted sometimes. Sometimes a person's actually guilty and they had reckless behavior, but it seems like everything's being fought nowadays.
Well, in terms of fought, here's an interesting fact, because you can look up the records of the video footage of police being brought out, and you'll see a pattern in it. Every time the police is in the right, you know, the video gets released fast. It comes out, like, within days, you know. It comes out really quick, but, like, the next day or, you know what I mean, or like, a week. But, like, bet when a police actually did something really wrong, like killed somebody or something like that, did something really, or beat the shit out of somebody and did something really wrong, that video can take many, many years to come out. In fact, the lawyers have to fight with the police. You know what I mean? They have to pull up a bunch of records. They have to, you know, file a bunch of claims to try to get the video out. And it'll take many years to get a certain video. And that's why you see a bunch of news reports. You see these news reports like,
well,
something that happened in 2015. Like, hey, this happened in 2015 and the video just got released. This cop was beating this guy over in the head with the club. You know what I mean? And half of the video is missing, but here's some of it. You know what I mean? But when the cop is in the right, the video gets released right away.
Well, James Mincy Jr., his family won like between 10 and 20 million in L.A. for him being put in a inappropriate chokehold. So sometimes the citizens do win.
Yeah, but it takes a lot of fighting. They got a lawyer up. They got to fight new fintel to get that video just to do, you know, all that stuff they just found. It took them a lot of work. They didn't just get $1 million, like, you know, sign one little piece of paper, you know what I mean? And that's it. No, they have to do a lot, you know what I mean? You got to get
Look
a lawyer who's going to work
King
with
went
you.
Through.
Right.
No, he finally got a settlement, but not much in comparison.
Indeed.
Well,
Rodney,
you guys,
supposedly King killed himself. Later on, Rodney Kidd drowned himself in the pool
by living a reckless life.
Well, the thing is that they said that Rodney King drowned himself in his pool of his back of his house. You know, they found him. You know,
I don't think he killed himself. He was. This might sound wrong. He was a pretty nice guy, and he just went back into a bad lifestyle, but. The jury awarded him $3.8 million plus $1.7 million in attorney fees, and he never got charged for driving drunk and evading arrest. But I haven't really researched how he died. I just know he died.
Yeah. It was supposedly it was suicide, but there was never a body search, you know how like they look at his body, how he died.
He was only
like,
47, it says.
Like if he was choked or beamed to death, or they can see like he has broken bones and stuff like that. I don't know what you call it. You know when you do that whole
body
thing.
Let me look it up. I don't think his death was controversial.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't talked about because it was hidden under the radar, so nobody even found out when he died, when he supposedly
he
committed suicide.
He died of an accidental drowning, which is similar
to
what you said.
Yeah, that's what I said. But the thing, you know, how do we know if the cops, you know, if they came in there and got revenge on him and threw him in the water and drowned his ass? We'll never know.
He was off the radar by then. I'm asking Pianke, John, Don, and you for final comments now. I have an early morning tomorrow, and I can't stay up late.
I think in the long run, like you see there around where George Floyd got lost his life, the police don't even go up into that area to answer calls. I was reading where there was a domestic violence. This black woman called the police. The dispatcher said, well, you're going to have to walk down 5 blocks to meet them. They're not coming up there. And I think they should just hang back. And let these people, they're going to end up killing themselves, and it won't no longer be a problem. And you won't get sued.
Wow.
That's my final.
So I haven't followed the case too carefully, Pianki, but in the case of Mary Speed, who killed two people and he was only 17, do you think the police could have used a different approach in Minneapolis and trying to locate him, but instead of going to his cousin's apartment?
Well, I don't know. I would think that you would hope so. But heck, in St. Louis, you had a mother, and he's black, and the son was 11 years old. They got a driver to give him a lift. The 11-year-old in the back gets pulled out a gun and starts pistol whipping the driver. The mother reach over, turns the ignition off, and push him out, and they carjacked the guy's car. And he wasn't the youngest one in
the
area.
The 11-year-old carjacked someone's car?
The mother and the 11-year-old carjacked a man's car in St. Louis. And before that, it was a 10-year-old that carjacked the car.
Well, I guess in some places you have to fight for what you want, but that's pretty radical.
So you see what the police is up against.
It's not like you're going to get away with it in the long run. Like, somebody's going to be a witness. Don, why don't you tell Pianki what happened to your truck?
I just got it stolen out of a hotel parking lot. So I'm looking for a new truck now.
I think he was warming it up. Wasn't the car running?
Yes, the car was running.
And he, somebody took his car and the police never found it.
Mm-hmm.
And where were you, back in the hotel room?
No, I was outside. I was around the corner. And yes, I'm settling right now. But
I hit a parked car that was in the wrong spot on the road. It was a family. They were African-American. She didn't have a driver's license or car insurance. I'm the one who hit them, and the police ticketed them because they were parked on the wrong side of the street in a movable traffic lane. I did feel sort of like I had white privilege because the cops didn't even question me.
Did they piss off the cop and argue with the cop?
They didn't, for some reason, they stayed and waited for the cops because I wanted an official report of the accident because they asked me for cash. But they didn't argue with the cops at all. It's just that why would they stay and wait for the cops if she had no driver's license or insurance? I mean, that was to her disadvantage. And the only thing I took out was a chunk of their plastic light cover. I didn't even damage their car. I took out like a half an inch of their plastic light cover.
Well, legally,
so
you're not supposed to give them. You're not supposed to give them any money. Legally, you're not supposed to give them any money. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't.
It's against the law to ask for money and give money.
I still think the cops took my side right away because I'm white.
Well, like in the Deontay Wright case, he didn't have no driver's license and no car insurance. So legally, they should have towed the car. They can't let him drive off, which he did drive off and had an accident.
Right, and he was actually, I think, getting out of the car, or they were trying to get him out, and then he jumped back in. So then there were two or three cops there, and they kind of panicked. And that's when she pulled that gun instead of the taser. So
the
whole situation
back at the
was
back of the car and went
the
on. Yeah, they was trying to handcuff him. Matter of fact, he was cooperating, and all of a sudden they hit him. Uh-oh, mama's car is going to get towed.
Well, then, yeah, he was just impulsive like a young person is. Not to say he used, he had poor judgment, but we have to keep in mind he was young.
Yeah.
Well, yeah,
if I remember
too, now,
the tasers are supposed to be yellow and the guns are black. So when you pull out your gun, you're essentially looking at your gun because you want to see where you're going to shoot. Even if you're shooting your gun and your taser, you got to look at it because you want to see where you're pointing the barrel down, where you're going to shoot your taser or your gun. So when you see it, it's either yellow or black. So not only she pulled it out and felt it with her hand, she also looked at it when she pulled the trigger because she has to aim at what she's shooting at, either what she's using a gun or a taser.
Well, she was a veteran cop for 25 years, so it is pretty hard to understand. Well, I'm going to end the show now. I guess John feels like he got extra credit points for calling in and not saying anything. But you're still on my shit list, John.
Yay, John.
I'm sure I am.
And if you want to donate $10 to the show, I'm not a Jewish American princess like your girlfriend, but I'm a struggling white Scandinavian who donates plasma.
Stop, Jane. He's either crying or he's asleep.
No, he's with Slick shooting the shit, trying to sell their condo.
You donate plasma, hell, they'll pay you for it nowadays.
Yeah, I make $480 a month donating plasma, but I made a boo-boo, and I took out a high-interest loan. So that's what – I have enough money to pay all my bills. I'm just milking John for money.
Oh my goodness! And you a white lady? I didn't think white people had those problems. Like the news tell it.
Yeah. By the way, in Pionkey in Minnesota, you know, the plasma place closed down a while. Then they reopened, and they offered $100 each time for the first 8 weeks. So you could get up to like $1,200 to $1,600. The first.
How much
month.
Would they pay me for my sperm?
You'll have to ask your girlfriends on Facebook.
It depends. Is it by the pound? Or?
John! I still want a baby, but I'm too old. Okay,
maybe
I think we
better. About a liter.
John says when the show's after 90 minutes, it starts getting warped.
It unravels, yeah.
I'm going to end the show pretty fast now because now I'm turning red. Nobody can even see me.
That's all right.
Albert claims he has girlfriends on his new website.
No, I don't. I have friends. I have female friends.
Something like you have to pose for him and then you get paid. By the way, Pionkey hung up so he doesn't have to hear the dirt. Okay, well, I hope you guys behave. I have another show coming up maybe Monday or Tuesday night, but everybody pray for Suzette. She's at home now, and her husband's taking care of her, and he has to cut back on his work hours for a while because they don't have a home health aide yet. Okay, you guys?
I wish my best for Suzette. I hope she gets
thanks
better.
Thanks for calling in, you guys, and making it worth my while. God bless you.
God bless you,
all
too,
right.
Katie.
Thanks for having me.
I'll end it with one of John's songs, okay?
All right.
Whatever.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Goodbye, everybody.
Good night.
Bye.
Oh,
Good night, everybody. Just a minute, I have to unmute John. Good night, John. Have a great night.